Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to be together this morning. If you would, take your Bibles and go to the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. That's where we're going to start this morning. Today is Sunday, October the 22nd, 2023. And I wanted to start this morning by reading a verse that we read last week. So, 1 John chapter 3. Everybody there? 1 John, back towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. That gets your attention when you read that word, right? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As born-again ones, meaning those who have confessed Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, God's word tells us that we're saved, that we're born again. As born-again ones, God is now our Father. We are his children. And the relationship we have with God Almighty is different than the relationship that God's people had in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the relationship was that of servants. But here, it says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We have to always remember, when we read the Bible, to have an understanding of Bible culture. We have a different culture today in the 21st century than they did back in Bible times. And in the biblical culture, sons served the father. Sons were concerned with their father's business, whether it would be, if your dad was a fisherman, then that's what you did. That's totally different from our culture. You know, kids grow up and they go, hey, I'm going to go do this, or I've got, in Bible culture, they didn't. If your dad was a fisherman, you're going to be a fisherman, and so is your kids. That's the way it went, fisherman or cattle. And that's why that verse says that we are sons of God, male and female. It's all inclusive. We are sons of God. The relationship, like it says in Galatians 4, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. So that's the relationship that we have. And as sons of God, then we ought to be about our father's business, biblically speaking, right? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Yes, of course, we are his dear children, but the relationship is sons. And understanding that in the biblical culture, we serve our father. In Matthew chapter 5, everybody there? Good. Verse 14. Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And then he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Not that they see your good works and pat you on the back and say, why aren't you just special? Let your light so shine among men that they could see their good works and then glorify your Father. That's doing the Father's business. And regardless of what's going on at this time in history, we are God's people, for this day and time. And as sons of God serving our Father, we do make a difference in this world by letting our light shine. And so this morning I'd like to look a little bit about how to shine as lights in this world. You know, there may be things that we're dealing with personally, or things going on in our world, and at times it can be discouraging. But what about people who don't know God's word? How discouraged are they? We, as born-again ones, can let our light shine, bringing God's truth to people. And remember, Jesus Christ said that it's the truth that will make you free. And so, just like people who have lived in any other time, we can isolate, run and hide, hunker down away from everybody and everything, and just wait for the return. I hope it's today. I don't want to do nothing. Or we can allow all that's going on either in our lives or in our country or around the world to overwhelm us, to discourage us, to depress us, to anger us. Or we can choose, first of all, to trust and believe our Father for what we need personally. You know, in the Old Testament times when they were servants, the Old Testament biblical master-servant relationship was that the master took very good care of his servants. Absolutely. Took great care of them. Supplied all that they need. Well, would a father do less? You know, speaking Old Testament times, a guy had, let's say, 10 servants, took great care of them, provided everything, but then his kids, that'd be ridiculous. That would be ridiculous. Well, since we're in Matthew, go to chapter 7. Jesus Christ made this pretty clear in Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 9, Jesus Christ said, "Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asked bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" The relationship we have with God now, as sons of God, God will certainly provide and take care of us. And we know many promises in the New Testament, in the church epistles. "My God shall supply all your need. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. By Jesus Christ's stripes we were healed. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered." We have tons of promises from our Father that we could believe him and trust him. And, you know, just a sidebar on that, when we see our brothers and sisters struggling, we're not to be critical, we're not to condemn, judge others. And if you find that's easy for you to do, then take a little time and read Romans 14 and 15, where God talks about that. But we can certainly love and encourage others when we see they're having some difficulty. And wouldn't you think that displaying the love of God would certainly qualify for being about our Father's business? God is love. God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I think we handled that. Was it last week? I can't remember. And you know something else about love? The Bible says that love energizes believing. So what great encouragement. So in letting our light shine, firstly, trust and believe our Father for what we need personally. And secondly, do our best to be about our Father's business and shine as lights. So, how do we shine as lights? Go to Philippians. Shed a little light on shining lights. Okay. And thanks for putting up with me. Philippians, we're going to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 25 of Philippians chapter 1. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your for furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation or your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, it should be in the faith of the gospel, in the believing, or in the right way of believing of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't get terrified by your adversaries. Stuff that happens, things that go on, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And now he's going to talk about Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember one of the very first things recorded in the Bible that Jesus Christ said? How is it you sought me? He's like 12, 13. Joseph and Mary took off. Thought he was with the relatives. He wasn't. They went back to Jerusalem. They found him. And he said, how is it you sought me? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So it's really interesting because Jesus Christ was a son, right? He was the Son of God, and sons served the Father. And it says he took on the form of a servant. In biblical culture, servants served and sons served. Service is service. Took on the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name or in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. After giving us this sterling example of Jesus Christ and his service to God, who was definitely about his Father's business, who humbled himself, who was obedient to God. Verse 12 starts with, in the King James it says, wherefore, it should be therefore. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll just stop for a second here. The Bible says we're saved by grace. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So now it's saying work out your own salvation. It could be a little puzzling, but the word that's translated salvation, it's a word that means deliverance. And there are different kinds of salvation or deliverance in the scriptures, and the context will always help you determine what kind of deliverance. Three times in this epistle of Philippians, the word that's translated salvation is referring to deliverance from physical and mental sufferings. In this context here, it's actually referring back to the deliverance from the conflicts that we read about in chapter 1. I want to go back there again, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you do what? Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together in the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of deliverance, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. In Acts 16, we see Paul going to Philippi. This epistle of Philippians was written to the believers in Philippi. In Acts 16, you know, we can see a little bit of how the government worked in Philippi. They got arrested, unlawfully beaten, thrown in jail without a trial. But if you read this whole epistle of Philippians, God, by way of Paul, does not give them any political advice on how to handle their government. When you read the book of Ephesians, God doesn't give any political advice about what was going on in Ephesus politically. Back to chapter 2, I want to read you verse 12 from Reverend Cummins' Working Translation. Chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved ones, even as you have always obeyed God, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own deliverance with fear and trembling, or reverence and obedience. We look to God to supply what we need. God is our Father. We're his children. We're his sons. So we look to God to supply what we need. We look to God for the deliverance we need today. For whatever's going on in our lives today, when we need help from God, we look to him. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. Interesting, that verse, to be understood in the context. God is at work within you to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. No murmuring and disputing about what God is trying to help you with. Verse 13 again. It is God who works in you, both to will and do of his pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We need to look at situations, things going on, through the filter of God's word and not our emotions. Whether it's personal attacks or political chaos in the world, it is a spiritual battle. God tells us that. There is evil in this world. And, you know, it's true. Hearing about, you know, speaking politically if you want, hearing about decisions, ungodly decisions or policies disturbs people who are godly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's times we hear stuff and we're like, what? Oh my gosh. But think about it, for people who don't know the truth of God's word, people whose lives are not based on what the scriptures say, those people can, well, one, be easily swayed by emotions, then deceived into thinking that maybe those ungodly decisions, and maybe they're okay, maybe they're right, maybe it's a good thing, because they have no basis for truth in God's word. Or they can just get discouraged and confused and frustrated. And that's why the more a person knows and understands the scriptures, God's word, the more they can see through the emotional smokescreens when ungodly things are promoted. And we know that God has told us in Timothy that we should pray for those that are in authority so that we could lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, Jesus Christ didn't advocate organizing an overthrow. In fact, remember there's a place in the Gospels where they wanted, look, let's go. They were going to take him and go try to make him king. And he was like, you guys don't get it. He preached about the kingdom of God. And, you know, if God leads someone to get involved a certain thing, you know, that's fine. But really, our priority as sons of God in this day and time is first to believe the scriptures and live it in our own lives. And in those times when we encounter setbacks and difficulties and challenges, we go to God to seek his help and his deliverance. We do our best to believe and live according to the word of God. That's being about our Father's business, isn't it? Well, sure it is. God wants us blessed. And secondly, we endeavor to share the truth of God's word with others. Hey, that's also being about our Father's business, isn't it? So how do we do that? How do we shine as lights? Next verse says, holding forth the word of God, word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh yeah, when that great day comes, doesn't that remind you of what it says in Corinthians? Be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God's keeping score. It says holding forth. The word holding forth is better translated, holding onto or holding fast. We shine as lights by holding onto, by holding fast to, by fixing our attention on the word of life. And really, in doing that, that would be a prerequisite to sharing God's word, wouldn't it? Holding on to it, keeping it in, building it in our lives, then we would certainly have something to share, right? If we didn't do that, what would we share? We'd share about the Diamondbacks and the game last night. And then everybody would be depressed. We shine as lights in this evil world by holding on to, by holding fast to the word of life, God's words. And that's what we share. And people see us. Right? There's a verse that says we are living epistles known and read of every man. People read us before they read the book. They see us blessed. And how in the world can you be so full of joy with everything going on in the world? Well, let me tell you. I'll show you why I'm so blessed. We're going to go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Back up just a few pages, huh? Ephesians chapter 6. And as we read these familiar verses in Ephesians chapter 6, how loving of our Father to spell it out in these next verses, to not sugarcoat it, but to just spell it out. Years ago, Kathy and I got to go on some really wonderful trips. I was working at the radio station and they did these promotions, and on these trips they needed one of us that was on the air to go with the group for free. Okay, we'll go. And I remember the very first trip we went on was a trip to Italy. It was a land tour. And our tour guide on the tour bus, a little short lady, little sweet lady, her name was Letizia. And is really great because she gave us some information that was helpful for us. I mean, you know, never been abroad before in Italy. Oh, I'm in Italy. And, you know, tired from the plane flight, all this stuff. And so she gave us some instructions about a lot of different things, but like the two main ones I remember was pickpockets. What? She was telling us you got to watch out for pickpockets. She was told the ladies how to have their purse. And it's like, well, who would ever, I would have never even thought that. Another thing she told us about, marble so plenteous in Italy, their old sidewalks are all marble. not all of them, but there's just marble sidewalks when you're walking down the street, and then here's it. It's marble, but it's old. It's cracked. Sometimes a little uneven. So she was telling us to watch where we walk, you know, because we're from, you know, suburbia in America, where nice flat sidewalks. But she said, you know, to watch out for that. And then she said, she was telling us that so we wouldn't trip and fall. But also, she said, if you fall here, it's a your fault. You're going to be suing this store. But anyway, the point I'm making is that she was pointing out things that would help us. And so God is pointing out things that will help us. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Pretty clear, isn't it? God's not sugarcoating anything, is he? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." As a born-again believer, if it doesn't make any difference whether you stand on God's word or not, why would God so explicitly say to stand? If it doesn't make any difference whether you put on the whole armor of God or not, why would God waste words telling us to do so? Your life as a son of God is needed in this day and time. And following your Father's instructions is certainly being about your Father's business. And your stand in this day and time does make a difference. And so then, after telling us that it's a spiritual battle, sometimes you got to check your emotions at the door. It's a spiritual battle. And after, you know, spelling it out for us, now he's going to tell us what we're going to need. Let's read verse 13 again. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." God's word is truth. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." For a born-again believer, God made you and me righteous. We are right in the sight of God. Let that cover your heart. "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith," or believing. Believing what? Believing God's word. "Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The word of God in the church epistles is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. And God just wants us to have a good trip during this life. So he's telling us, watch out for the cracks in the sidewalk. They're going to be there. There are pickpockets out there. They'll just come and your purse is just gone. Watch out for this. Well, then she told us something about certain stores when we go into a city. You might not want to go over there. But it was just, you know, it was wonderful. Before we close in Matthew, let's go to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. First Thessalonians 5. Wow. Flying kind of low. That wasn't the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 5. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light, and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, encourage yourselves, and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren. All right, it goes on with some other stuff, but we'll close in Matthew. We just stand in this day and time the best that we possibly can. And when we face challenges and adversity, we go to our Father looking for his help. And when we see our brothers and sisters who need some help and encouragement, we reach out to them. We pray for them. Matthew 5, we already read this, but this is where I wanted to close. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In this day and time, we are the people of God. We are his sons. And as sons, we ought to be about our Father's business. We can choose to trust and believe our Father to supply whatever it is we need. And sometimes that changes day by day, doesn't it? But we can still trust our Father. His ears are open unto our prayers. I think he loves to hear from us, or he wouldn't have said pray so much. Jesus Christ said you ought to always pray and not faint. Well, God must be interested in hearing us. The Bible says his eyes are upon the right, his ears are open unto us. So we can trust and believe our Father to supply what we need in our personal lives. And then we can just let our lights shine. We can bring truth to people. And it's the truth of God's word that sets people free and makes people free. So, Father, thanks for your wonderful word and the great encouragement it gives to us. And what a privilege to have such a relationship that you decided that we should be sons. Not just servants, but sons. And that, Father, as it says in your word, no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. How blessed we are to know a little bit about your wonderful word. What a great privilege to be born again ones. And Father, as we wait for your Son from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, until that day comes, we look to you, Father, to help us in all of our personal things. And God, we also look for open doors to let our light shine to others that we can make a difference in this world today, in this time that we live in. We thank you for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.